Continue on in our study of Proverbs, and we'll be picking up with chapter 10. And I'm going to kind of approach it a little differently. I really struggled with how do I read this and make it meaningful as we go. So I'm going to do a good or bad, right or wrong, kind of. And I think you can do that verse by verse in these chapters, because chapter 10 through 22, or the first part of 22, 16, is what we're going to be covering over the next probably few weeks. And we'll take it chapter by chapter and read it and then reflect upon it. And if anybody has any comments or differences of thought, appreciate bringing them up, so we'll do that. So let's get started this morning with a word of prayer, as we always do, and then we'll get into chapter 10 of Proverbs. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, beautiful morning that you've given us, and time of year. We thank you for all that you provide and continue to provide. We ask for your continued guidance in everything that's going on around us in our world. So much, you know, false thinking and teaching and what have you. So, Lord, we appreciate your word. We believe your word. We take your word to heart. And we just ask you, Lord, to guide us and help us to understand it even better, so that we can share it with those who maybe right now don't want to hear about it, but no, we know that they need to know, because it's part of the whole cycle of life. If we die without Jesus, there's an eternity of being lost, and there is a place, a real place called hell. So Lord, we just ask for your continued guidance in the Holy Spirit who you've given us. And we thank you for the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit has come to live in us through our faith. And we can recognize when that Holy Spirit is prompting us, putting things in front of us that we might question, well, how did that happen? But Lord, everything is under your guidance and direction, and we just thank you for the Holy Spirit, and we thank you for the work that Jesus did when you sent him to this world, and he went to the cross to die for our sins. So guide us now by the power of the Holy Spirit this morning as we continue our study of Proverbs. Help us to see the things that are good versus bad, right versus wrong. We know you have made it pretty black and white, pretty straight. But as people of the world, secular worldview, they want to just make their own things up and do things as they want to do. So, Lord, it's a challenge. We're in a challenging time. And so we just ask for your guidance and the guidance of the Holy Spirit to lead us to do what's right in your eyes. So thank you for this time, and thank you for the people who have come and the people who may be listening in. I just ask for a blessing on our teaching this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so you should have your Bibles open, and do follow along. Chapter 10 of Proverbs, and this is where, on our outline and on your handout, we have the Proverbs of Solomon, how they're described, and we'll be reading these. So we believe that by the hand of Solomon, in some fashion, these were given. Now maybe somebody else wrote them down, but it is credited to Solomon. So the wisdom of Solomon, and we'll see a lot of that wisdom demonstrated in these Proverbs of in particular, this area from chapter 10 to 22. So we'll get into that And I might just as well start on it right away. And so I'm going to go verse by verse. And then I'm going to describe as I read part of the verse. Good. Part of the verse. Bad. Or it might be more appropriate to do right or wrong. So you can kind of follow. If you disagree with me, please let me know. But I think it's, I kind of try to different things in trying to approach this, like maybe do an overview and a generalization on what's covered in a chapter. But I think we need to read it. We need to have it in front of us and read it, and then see with our own eyes what we're being told is what is right, what is wrong, what's good, what is evil. And so let me start the reading. Chapter 10, the Proverbs of Solomon. A wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish son grief to his mother. You might interpret that the mother gets the brunt of the of the grief when children go wrong. That isn't saying that the mother is always the one who's the teacher in the family, but or the one that tries to instruct the right and wrong of things. But I think a lot of times that may even be happening to a lot of degree in our culture, because generally the man goes to work and doesn't have the same time association with their children, particularly when they're young. But it doesn't have to be that way, but I think that's what this is saying. So a wise son brings joy to his father, that's good. But a foolish son brings grief to his mother, that's bad. Verse 2, ill-gotten treasures, something of worth, are of no value. But righteousness delivers from death. And so, again, it's speaking just if all you're seeking is treasures of this world, valuable things, things that are pleasurable to you, whatever it is, they're really of no lasting value. That isn't saying that you totally avoid fun things or enjoyable things, but it's determining what is worth for eternal value. And so righteousness, and that term righteousness, we've talked about it many times in here. I believe it's a connection with God. God requires righteousness, and he's the only one that's truly 100% righteous. So we have to look to God and his way to align ourselves with it as best we can and live a life accordingly, so that we're following the righteous way. And so this verse then says, but righteousness delivers from death. That doesn't mean we can miss dying, because everyone is appointed once to die, and after that the judgment. But it does say that I think with living a life of God's wishes and so forth and ways, some would say, well, what about Charlie? You know, he was shot for it. He was killed. But he's a martyr. I mean, basically a modern martyr. And so he, and there's others too, that stand up for right and wrong, stand up for God's way, and try to pass it on, and have done their best in doing that. But there may come a time when the battle is engaged, and I think that ends up what happened. You know, Satan thinks he's won this battle, but he's not, because, you know, Charlie's wife is still going to take over. I'm looking forward to what she's going to do, and the people that are coming to form new groups and so forth. So
they're saying the memorial today may be the most watched
ever.
Yeah.
Over 100,000.
I think there's going to be a lot more.
Even
than
more
that.
Than that. And well, it's going to fill the stadium. So that's something. But there's a lot of protection needed too, and I hope they're making all the protections that
they
are necessary.
Somebody yesterday with
there's people still wanting to do harm. So anyway, righteousness. I guess I get back to that. I view righteousness as that, you know, vertical line from God to us. And so it's important to, and you'll see righteousness expressed throughout these Psalms. So that's 2:3, and this is, the Lord does not let the righteous go hungry. The Lord provides, and that we need to always remember. But he thwarts the craving of the wicked. So he may withhold from the wicked just to try to get their attention, to try to show them the better way. And so so I think that's, so you have the good or the good or the bad being talked about here. Verse 4, lazy hands make a man poor. Okay, I think that's a given. If you don't work, neither should you eat. But diligent hands bring wealth. And so not that wealth is the ultimate goal, but some may make it that, but God provides. That's the whole point. But if you're lazy and don't even desire to work for what you get, it may be bad, you know, or wrong. And so, verse 5, he who gathers crops in summer is a wise son. So that's good. He's the one out there working. He's gathering the crops, bringing in the food and to feed. Is a wise son, so that's good. But he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. So if you don't share in the effort, it's a bad thing or a wrong thing.
Does that mean it's okay to work around the clock, I
think? Is that what you do, Dan?
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah. Let's see. Disgraceful. Blessings, crap.
Number 6.
Mine 6, is that where? Okay, thank you. Blessings crown the head of the righteous. Again, back to that term righteous. But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. So again, as God makes the way, blessings come to those who follow God's way, the righteous way. But violence may overwhelm those that take the wicked road, take the devil's way, overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous. So it even, and here I believe, again, I don't want to make too much of the Charlie Kirk situation, but the memory of the righteous. Just like you say, the people that are going to come to his is just amazing. So God is doing a work here. I guess that's what's should be exciting to us as believers, as Christians who want to see things change in this country. Now, whether it's lasting or not, we don't know. But the interest level and but there's also the other side of it. There's the enemy that's trying to tear it down too. Saying wicked things about it. Verse 7, the memory of the righteous will be a blessing, but the name of the wicked will rot. And so the good and the bad, the right and the wrong. Verse 8, the wise in heart accept commands. So they listen, they follow. But a chattering fool, that's kind of an interesting term, chattering fool comes to ruin. So if you're not wise in doing God's way, basically, you become just a chattering fool. And I see a lot of chattering fools out there, sorry to say. But that's just the world we live in. Verse 9, the man of integrity walks securely. God provides a provision of protection over the one who has integrity. But he who takes crooked paths will be found out. So ultimately, those that don't do things God's way will be found out. You know, sometimes you're hoping for things to be found out in this life of things that have happened and not been told the truth. But maybe they won't be. Maybe you'll have to wait till judgment. And so there's that fact. The man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Verse 10, he who winks maliciously causes grief, which is bad, and a chattering fool comes to ruin. So those are both negative things. He who winks maliciously causes grief, both grief or ruin. Verse 11, the mouth of the righteous, the good, is a fountain of life. But violence overwhelms the mouth of the wicked. That I think we can also take some solace in, if you will, because we'll often see in this life that the violent ones, the ones that do evil, the ones that aren't listening, aren't following God's way, end up dead. And their lives are over. And there's not a lot of hope when the wicked die, you know, for their eternal sense. Verse 12, hatred stirs up dissension. And that, again, is very relevant. I mean, this is just almost a playbook to what we're seeing happen in our world. Hatred stirs up dissension. But love, and you got to remember that, but love covers over all wrongs. So put on love. Sometimes it's very hard to continue to love in the middle of not listening or whatever is going on in somebody's life. Verse 12, hatred stirs up dissension. Oh, that's the one I just read. But love covers over all wrongs. 13, wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning. So that's good. Wisdom is found on the lips of the discerning. So if we're given discernment, understanding, right and wrong, understanding of what we should do, that's good. And so it should be on our lips. We should encourage others. But then, that's good. So, but a rod is for the back of him who lacks judgment. So that kind of has a picture of being punished. Being punished for doing the wrong things. And the rod was the tool of judgment. 14. Wise men store up knowledge. That's a good thing to know. But it also depends on what you're storing up. And I think in a lot of our world today, we're putting all kinds of knowledge into people's heads. And it's not all good. But still, wise men store up knowledge, good knowledge, knowledge that aligns with God's way. But the mouth of a fool invites ruin. So when the fools try to impart knowledge or explain their way of things, you'll recognize it as leading to ruin. Verse 15, the wealth of the rich is their fortified city. People who have the money can provide the protection, but poverty is the ruin of the poor. And so that's just a fact of life. You know, we see a lot of poverty in the world, and so we have an opportunity in some cases to help those that are in poverty or poor. But because it is the ruin of the poor. Verse 16, the wages of the righteousness bring them life, but the income of the wicked brings them punishment. So again, that battle. The battle between right and wrong, good and evil. And so we see the wages of the righteous bring them life. So if you want to maintain life and life to the fullest, follow righteousness. And we know that righteousness is God's way. Again, that vertical line. Verse 17, he who heeds discipline shows the way to life. So being disciplined is important. He who heeds discipline shows the way to life, but whoever ignores correction leads others astray. And that's a given too. Causes a lot of problems, causes a lot of distress and discomfort. When the ones who are not following the right way don't listen. Verse 18, he who conceals his hatred has lying lips. So if you hate somebody and you hate them enough that you would even want to hurt them or kill them, whatever, it comes from lying lips because they're not doing it God's way. And whoever spreads slander is a fool. So again, the foolish nature to the spreading of slander. And so keep that in mind. When words are many, sin is not absent. So a lot of words don't necessarily make it good. It must be, you know, honest and from the heart. Sin is not absent. It's there. But he who holds his tongue is wise. So one of the things we should all recognize is when it's right to withhold your tongue, to keep from preaching, keep from, you know, badgering, whatever it might be. But there's still, do it in love, doing it in love, because you see that they're going down the wrong path. The tongue of the righteous is choice. Verse 20, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver, so it has value. But the heart of the wicked is of little value. That's good versus evil. The lips of the righteous, verse 21, the lips of the righteous nourish many, but fools die for lack of judgment. And we see, in my opinion, that very prominent in our world, the lack of judgment. Verse 22, the blessing of the Lord, Yahweh, brings wealth. It may not always necessarily be the case. You can't just, in my opinion, pray for wealth, because wealth can be a burden too. Wealth can be not what God wants at a point in time. So I need to keep my place here. Okay, verse 22. Brings wealth, and he adds no trouble to it. Verse 23, a fool finds pleasure in evil conduct. That's a kind of an axiom that we can see going on. But a man of understanding delights in wisdom. So seek wisdom. seek understanding, but seek it God's way. Use the book of wisdom here. What the wicked, verse 24, what the wicked dreads will overtake him. What the righteous desires will be granted. So the difference between following wicked things, what the wicked dreads will overtake him, be caught up in it, will ruination, but what the righteous desires will be granted, because God sees it as following his way, and it will be granted. Verse 25, when the storm has swept by, the wicked are gone. Sometimes storms are brought to get rid of some of the wicked, but the righteous stand firm forever. That's a pretty powerful phrase, and that whenever we have that word forever, some want to say that's just for a long time. Allah basically means forever into the future. Verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is a sluggard to those who send him. Just another idiom that is meaningful. Verse 27, the fear, again, this is good. The fear of the Lord, Yahweh, adds length to life. Now, if we're looking for that to be universal, we're going to be missing the boat, because there are righteous people, there are good people, Bible-believing, God-fearing people that lose their life because of the enemy that comes against them. But God oversees all that, and they will be welcomed home into the heavenly kingdom. So we should not... Yes?
That's a really good point, because I'd like to point this out. But in, I think it's Isaiah chapter 57, it says, some of the righteous go home, that Lord keeps them from trouble when he takes them home. Mm-hmm. So we were thinking about that when Carol passed away.
Yeah. Kind of thing, you know? Yeah. No, that's true. It's not our timing. Yeah. It's always God's timing on things. So. 27, is that where I'm at? 28. The prospect of the righteous is joy. Okay, we keep thinking about that. But the hopes of the wicked come to nothing. So the wicked never succeed if they remain wicked. But if they turn from their wickedness and come to truth, they too can become righteous in God's eyes. Verse 29, the way of the Lord, Yahweh, is a refuge for the righteous. So the righteous can seek refuge in the Lord just by calling upon the Lord to help them. But it is the ruin of those who do evil. So evil still is in our world, and still we see it happening. Verse 30, the righteous will never be uprooted. And that's an eternal reflection. The righteous in this world may face a lot of turmoil and conflict, but we know that this isn't all there is. The righteous will never be uprooted. We will be with God forever. But the wicked will not remain in the land. So there is a consequence of the wicked mentioned there. 31, the mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but a perverse tongue will be cut out. And then verse 32 to finish this chapter, the lips of the righteous know what is fitting, but the mouth of the wicked only what is perverse. So that finishes the first chapter. I kind of dwelled on that probably a little longer than I intended to. So let me just read on and try to get through chapter 11. You formulate the thoughts for yourself based on what I'm trying to do here. What is good? What is bad? I'll mention a few along the way particularly, but I won't harp on every verse. So let's go on with chapter 11. The Lord Yahweh abhors dishonest scales, any cheating, but accurate weights are his delight. When pride, verse 2, when pride comes, then comes disgrace. So kind of hold from being prideful. Keep away from being overly prideful, and because it does only bring disgrace. But with humility comes wisdom. So be humble. Be humble, and God will bless you with wisdom, with understanding. Verse 3, the integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity. I'll let that kind of stand on its own. Verse 4, wealth is worthless in the day of wrath. That's an interesting term. You know, in the modern world, particularly in America, I think, you know, wealth, accumulation of wealth has been a goal, and it's not necessarily, you know, wrong in and of itself, but it can become a burden. And if you love wealth or love money more than God, and it's it can be bad news.
Well, the commentator said, you know, wealth doesn't help you out when it comes to the last day of your death and judgment.
That's right. Yeah. They're not going to count what we have in our pockets because we don't have anything in our pockets when we stand before God. But righteousness delivers from death. Verse 5, the righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way for them. And so that's a benefit of being right with God. The righteousness of the blameless makes a straight way, knowing where you're going and the right direction. But the wicked are brought down by their own wickedness. So wickedness itself will ultimately bring them down. And that's the consequences we know for those who are caught up in the wickedness that we see going on now. How many of them end up dead? How many of them end up in prison? How many end up, you know, killing somebody else? You know, so there's a lot of consequences there. The righteousness of the upright delivers them, but the unfaithful are trapped by evil desires. When a wicked man dies, his hope perishes. All he expected from his power comes to nothing. That's what we all need to recognize. This life is only temporary, and if you live a life of wickedness, there's consequences for an eternity. Verse 8, the righteous man is rescued from trouble, and it comes on the wicked instead. So that's the benefit of being right with God as best we can be, and being rescued. Verse 9, with his mouth the godless destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge the righteous escape. Verse 10, when the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. When the wicked perish, there are shouts of joy. Verse 11, through the blessing of the upright, a city is exalted, but by the mouth of the wicked, it is destroyed. Consequences again, which road you choose. Verse 12, a man who lacks judgment derides his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his tongue. And I think that's a big part. It'd be nice if some of our senators and representatives would hold their tongues a bit more, particularly in the debates I've watched on TV. It's really radical garbage. Verse 13, a gossip betrays a confidence, but a trustworthy man keeps a secret. So if you're a gossip, you can't trust them because they'll betray your confidence. For lack, verse 14, for lack of guidance a nation falls, but many advisors make victory sure. He who puts up security for another will surely suffer. But whoever refuses to strike hands and pledge is safe. 16. A kind-hearted woman gains respect, but ruthless men gain only wealth. A kind man benefits himself, but a cruel man brings trouble on himself. Good and evil, good and bad. The wicked man earns deceptive wages, bad. But he who sows righteousness reaps a sure reward, good. The truly righteous man attains life, good. But he who pursues evil goes to his death, bad. Verse 20, the Lord Yahweh detests men of perverse heart, bad. But he delights in those whose ways are blameless, good. Be sure of this, the wicked will not go unpunished. That's the truth. But those who are righteous will go free. Verse 22, like a gold ring in a pig's snout is a beautiful woman who shows no discretion. Verse 23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good, but the hope of the wicked only in wrath or bad. Verse 24, one man gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. Verse 25, a generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. Good. 26, people curse the man who hoards grain, but blessing crowns him who is willing to sell. So just don't hang on to everything you have and not necessarily give it away or give it to those who need it. Verse 27, he who seeks good finds goodwill, but evil comes to him who searches for it. Verse 28, whoever trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf, have new life. Verse 29, he who brings trouble on his family will inherit only the wind, and the fool will be servant to the wise. Verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Remember that tree of life in the middle of the garden. And he who wins souls is wise. So seek to win souls. And I believe that's what Charlie was doing. And others, many others. And so that's a good thing. He who wins souls is wise. And finally, verse 31, and we'll stop with this for today. If the righteous receive their due on earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner. In other words, justice will be served. If the righteous receive their due on earth, the ungodly, the sinner, will, how much more they will receive justice. Now, whether it's in this life or in eternity. So, anyway, that's, some of this stuff gets pretty heavy when you reflect upon it, so it's, but it's good. It's good to have these weighing of right and wrong, because I think we're just kind of looking away from it. There's just too many people that are caught up in, oh, what, you know, nothing wrong with Charlie being killed. You know, he was spewing hate against certain things that they believe in. So, anyway, we're in times where this, you know, it's always been relevant, but I think sometimes you can go back and look at these Old Testament accounts and look at how they still still are relevant for us today, maybe more so than ever. So, all right, let's close in prayer, and we'll prepare ourselves for our time of worship. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the words of Solomon that I believe in so many ways they're your words passed on to us. And we've been given it, passed on down through the ages. We still have it in written form. We can still read it and study it and reflect upon it and relate to it. And so we thank you, Lord, for this word of Proverbs. We just ask for your continued guidance in each of our lives. Help us to seek right from wrong, knowing right from wrong, and whatever we choose to do. So we thank you for the people who support us, that encourage us along our journey in this life, whether it be parents, family, church, friends, whoever it may be, Lord, we thank you for that support along the way to help us through the difficult times, through the dark times. Lord, we thank you for this time you've given us to be in your word and to reflect upon it, but we now thank you ahead of time for a time of worship. We ask for your blessing to fall upon each person that comes into this place, to come to church this morning and to participate in our worship service. We just ask for a blessing on each part of our worship service, that it be meaningful and be beneficial to those who come. And so we thank you who you will bring this day into this place, and we thank you for those who have prepared what we are going to participate in. We thank you for the music that's been selected or will be sung and played, and even a personal number. So we pray for that, for Donna and Judy. And just thank you for the willingness to step forward and share their gifts with others. But we also thank you for the rest of the worship service as well, Lord, that our time of fellowship with each other will be a blessing. The music, as I said, will be a blessing. The communion, the time of communion, will be a blessing on each one of us. And that the message from Genesis, again, will be reflective and help us to grow in our understanding of all your word. And then I pray for Raymond's message that he has prepared to share with us this day, that again it will speak into our lives and encourage us along our journey, but also challenge us that we need to continually look at things your way in your word. So I thank you for your word, and I just ask for a continued blessing on those people who come and hear your word and then share it with others. I just thank you for all that you do. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.